But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see some faces that I know here from down home. And I see our brother from over in Indiana, and sister, they are here with us tonight. It's a real privilege. I never expected them to be here, but I'm thankful that they're here. We've got friends all over the United States and into the islands where we've ministered for many years, and we're always glad to see them. Brother Ernie was just telling me that his speaking equipment was down in Florida with the tent. I could have brought some more, but really this sounds pretty good. I think this is going to work out all right. But I do appreciate you being here tonight. I know that you're sovereign and you don't have to come. And in as much as you did come, well, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm very sorry that we wasn't here for the first part of the meeting. But I had a feeling when the meeting was set that we wouldn't get here until maybe Sunday night. And we had so much trouble, I was beginning to wonder if my feelings and understanding was wrong. Maybe we wasn't going to get here until Monday night. But anyway, we're here. I never have had a chance to really get acquainted with Brother Ernie like I'd like to. I met Brother Ernie here a number of years ago. We had the gospel tent set up and was just fixing to go into revival, and he came in. The Lord led him that way, and after that he came, in just a little while the anointing was upon him, and he was prophesying, and some beautiful prophecy came forth. Amen. And we had remembered him from that. We've not had a chance to see him since. But then we finally had the opportunity to come up and minister for him here and to be with you folks. I've never ministered in Virginia or West Virginia. We've ministered in every state, with the exceptions of New Mexico, all the way from Canada to Mexico and from California to Florida. But I never ministered in West Virginia. I've had invitations in Virginia and maybe here in West Virginia, I'm not sure. But I've been through here many times, but I never ministered here. I got caught in a big snow over in Wheeling, West Virginia many years ago. I don't know how far we are from Wheeling, West Virginia, but that's a good place to be from when the snow is as heavy as it was when I was there. If you understand snow, and I guess you folks do, you know how to get around, but it seems to be like the snow plows just kept piling it up until it was done getting up over my head and the car and all. And it looked like it just kept on snowing, but I don't think I've ever been in a worse of snow except when Betty and I got stranded in the Idaho mountains, and then it looks like that it was like, you know, somebody popping popcorn. The biggest snowflakes I've ever seen in my life, and in a little while it was just about, you know, we were just about wrapped up with it. But that was a terrible ordeal. God brought us through it. But aside from that, the Wheeling, West Virginia experience was one of the outstanding experiences of my life. Now, I'll try not to hold you long tonight. I know that we're getting a late start, and I'm not acquainted with you, and you're not acquainted with me, but we've got an opportunity to get acquainted with each other.
Amen.
So, I love to preach Revelation. It's been my ministry and my heart for many years, and very few people even know what Revelation is, other than the fact they know there's a book. It's called the Book of Revelation. But when you really talk about spiritual revelation, the thing that John received when he wrote that book, making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, very few people know what you mean, and they just don't understand it at all. Now, most of us like to accredit to our account, you know, that we do know and that we do understand. I do, I guess, and you do, and everybody else does, but honestly and very sincerely, I never realized how much I did not understand until I came into the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'd been in the church world for many years. I'd preached, I'd prayed, I'd fasted, I'd done everything everybody else did, you know, and traveled a long ways too. And I couldn't understand why that the church was in the condition that it's in until I was carried away with the Lord and the revelation was made known to me, and then I understood why that the church has been like it has, and why that we've been so long in coming into the real knowledge of God. But I thank the Lord for it, and every day of my life He continues to add to the understanding of His Word and blesses me with the revelation. I want to read just a little bit here. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn over into the book of 1 Corinthians to chapter 15. I might read a good bit of the scripture here tonight, so bear with me if I do. I won't take too long reading it. That's 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Everybody that brought their Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me in the event that you don't have it. Well, listen real closely as we read. Just let the Lord lead us into something tonight, and maybe we'll get acquainted through this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, for whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, that then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain, it may chance, of wheat or of some of the grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, it's reading quite a lot of scriptures. As a matter of fact, the whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, perhaps that's common to you. Your minister may do it here, and maybe not. It is my way to read a lot of times a whole chapter or maybe half a chapter of Scripture. I do that because so many people fail to read the Bible. And you preach to them about a certain thing, and they don't even know what the Bible says about it, let alone what you're saying about it. So I find it necessary in our day to make the church a convenience for or to God by reading the Scripture and try to edify the people in bringing them into the Holy Scriptures. Reading in the 50th verse, if you notice, Paul uses the term here that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And in the 51st verse, if you notice, he uses the term that I show you a mystery. Now, I don't know how much you know about mysteries or how much you believe in mysteries. I'm not here to try to convert you into any certain thing. I'm only here to try to edify you into the Scriptures. Now, I'm not acquainted with Brother Ernie enough to know just what trend of ministry that he follows. I know that he's a deliverance preacher, and of course, I don't believe you'd be a preacher if you wasn't a deliverance preacher. Brother Ernie, I don't believe anybody would. I don't believe you could be a preacher and not be a deliverance preacher, because the gospel is deliverance, and if you preach anything at all, there's nothing left to preach except deliverance. And inasmuch as so many people need deliverance, not only from sicknesses, but they need deliverance from bondage of evil spirits and all kind of conditions, you know, that hamper their life and keep them pressed down all the time. So then to me there's nothing to preach except deliverance. And our whole ministry is based on deliverance. We believe in praying for the sick. God's been good to us. He's given us some wonderful healings. And we've seen people delivered from demons, devils, and evil spirits. I've seen a lot of people delivered from evil spirits and turn out to be wonderful people of God. And I believe that when you preach the gospel, that it is deliverance. Inasmuch as in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we understand that by the Word all things consist, and everything in the world, or that is in the world, or that has been created, was created by the Word. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So then by that we see why that Jesus uses the term that we should preach the Word. We should always preach the Word. Now, if I preach the Word, I know everything's going to be all right, because I know that the Word will deliver you. Is that right? So then I feel like that everything will work out. I'm going to ask them to turn that down just a little bit so I can hold this mic up here. I like to get all the volume I can out of it, but I don't like to get it too low, and I don't like to get it too loud. There's nothing more aggravating to a preacher than to get the mic too low. And if you get it too loud, there's nothing more aggravating to the people than to get it too loud. So we just kind of have to hit a happy medium here, you know, and work everything out. All right, now, let me say this again as I try to find a place here to explain a few things to you. Now, what I read to you tonight, I could preach probably for a month on that one thing and not exhaust the funds there. There is enough in what I read to you tonight to rapture the church. You believe that? There is enough in what I read tonight that it would rapture the church. It would take me all night long to explain just some of the mystery of what Paul is speaking about here in the Holy Scriptures. And of course, don't get uneasy, because Paul preached all night long, because you know he had a lot to say. And if some, you know, he had a little trouble, one feller died, he just resurrected him and went on preaching. But I'm afraid that some of you might go out on me and I might not get you awake, so I'll just try it, maybe preach half a night, maybe just part of it, and see how you do with that. If you last pretty good, maybe we'll make it all night the next night. Hallelujah. Don't get afraid. I thank God tonight, because I do believe in the Word. And I believe that there is something to be said. And I believe by all means that we are the ones to say it.
Amen.
I love to listen to the president, and I love to listen to the senators, and I love to listen to a lot of things. But when it comes to the ultimate Word in the earth, it has to come from the minister, not the president. The president's a great thing in the earth, but he's just a sideline. God is going to establish the real thing, and all of that's going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But he said, my word would not pass away. So then we know all that's going to pass away, and so the main fellow of importance in the earth is the minister. You see Brother Ernie come to this pulpit, then you know that the main fellow in the earth is speaking to you. And inasmuch as the Bible said it's not him that speaketh, but it's the Heavenly Father speaking from within him, then you know that that's the ultimate in everything that is to be said. Is that right?
Yeah.
God has the ultimate to be said. And whatever God says, that's it. You can't add to it. You can't take away. And only the minister is the one through whom God will speak to the world, unless it is the membership of his body. Now, Paul said here, I show you a mystery. Now, I show you a mystery. Paul had a great mystery. As a matter of fact, he had such a great mystery that Peter, on one occasion, said, Paul, you say things hard to be understood.
Amen.
You tell me things that it's hard for me to understand. And even though Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and Peter had power to heal the sick, had such great faith in God that he could just walk out on the waters and just walk across the top of the water. That's faith, isn't it? Now, though he had this great faith in God, yet Paul had a mystery that Peter had a hard time understanding. Though Peter was so close to God and could raise the dead and could walk along a wall and heal the sick just by the shadow falling over him, yet Paul had got so close to God
that he had found out something Peter didn't know. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, Peter had walked with Jesus day by day, rubbed elbows with Jesus, sat at the table and eat with Jesus, yet Peter didn't know Jesus like Paul did in some things, did he? Though Peter walked in the earth with Jesus, yet Paul took a trip and went right on to heaven with him, didn't he?
Yes.
Touch you on his eye, caught up to the third heaven, isn't that right? Paul not only walked with him down here as Peter did, but he just took a trip and went right on up there with him and saw how things really was arranged. After he took a trip up there and come back, he went over to talk to Peter. And Peter said he said some things that was hard for him to understand.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Some of them don't feel bad tonight if God says some things that's kind of hard to be understood. Don't feel bad because Peter had a hard time understanding some things too, and he had the keys to the kingdom. That makes us to know that God can do a new thing, Brother Ernie. The Bible said, I will do a new thing. A lot of times we say, well, Brother Pike, I feel like that I know, and I feel like God's already told me what I ought to know, but I want you to know that God said, I will do a new thing. I'll do a new thing. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, there's nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But did you know that when Calvary came along after Solomon had been here, that was something new, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Never before had the Son of God ever went to Calvary and died. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But when Jesus came and died at Calvary, I think you'll admit that's something new. Is that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah, that's something new. And so on down the line, God had done a new thing. Is that right? Just shortly after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God poured out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Is that right?
That's right?
That was something new in the earth because it had never been done before. Is that right?
Right.
God said that I will do a new thing. God is brand new every day. The Bible said the mercies of God are new every day. So if you had God's mercies yesterday, you can have God's mercies today. If you have God's mercies today, you can have God's mercies tomorrow. But every day that you get God's mercies, that's brand new.
Yes,
that's brand new. Hallelujah. How many believe God does a new thing?
Amen.
Somebody would say, well, I don't believe God does a new thing. But I'll tell you one thing. When you came to know Jesus, that was a new thing. You'd never come to know Him before, had you? That was a new thing. Your neighbor might have known Him, but you'd never known Him before. When I came to know Jesus, that was a new thing.
Yes.
Now, somebody else had met Him, but I'd never met Him before. That was brand new.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is that right?
Amen.
When a little baby's born in the world, that's a new thing, ain't it? Somebody said, no, there's been a baby born before, but not that baby. Is that right? That's a brand new thing. Hallelujah. God is full of new things.
Amen.
I praise God because He's full of new things. You hear a sermon tonight, you might get something from God, and that's good. But tomorrow there'll be something else. It'll be brand new. Every time I've ever heard a preacher preach, I got something new. I got more understanding. My heart was opened up. I found out more about God. Every time I went to church, I got a new experience with God. Even being here tonight, I'm still getting a new experience. Hallelujah. Something new about it. Something thrilling about it. Something stirring about it. Hallelujah. This is a new thing tonight. You believe that?
Yeah.
Somebody would say, well, how could this be a new thing? It's a new thing. I've never preached to you before, but I'm preaching to you tonight. It's a brand new thing. Hallelujah. God's doing a new thing. And I'm glad tonight to have a chance to be here and feel the presence of God and know that God's here. As I walk around here, God's doing a new thing tonight. You say, what's He doing? I'm feeling His Spirit tonight. I've never felt it before at this particular time, but I'm feeling it this time, here, this night. Is that right? Now, last night was one thing, but tonight's a new thing. I'm feeling God's mercy. God's mercies are brand new every day. I'm feeling His mercy right here tonight. A brand new thing. Hallelujah. Is that right? God is doing a new thing. You're doing a new thing. You're doing a new thing tonight. God's doing a new thing. Plenty of new things in the world tonight. If you can understand that God is brand new. But now I agree with Solomon. If you're going to get into the worldly trend and do the things of the world, there's nothing new under the sun. Is that right? What has been, will be, and what is, will be afterwards. Is that right? What was, shall be, and what shall be is happening right now. Is that right? If it's under the sun. But I'm talking about things out of this world. Oh, Paul got up out of this world, caught it in the third heaven.
Right.
He wasn't under the sun, was he? There's something new when you get in the Spirit of God. God's got something new for you and me. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's got a new blessing for you tonight. God can do something for you tonight. If you want to be blessed, God can bless you.
Yes.
If you want to get a hold of God, God will get a hold of you. If you want to join hands with God like Peter did, you can bring deliverance to the people. Is that right? God can save. God can heal. God can deliver. But he has to do it by Spirit. It's not by power. It's not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good.
Amen. Glory to God.
First time ever preaching this church is a new thing. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so much better. Brother Taylor sings a little song, feeling so much better. Let us go on talking about this good old way. Let us go on talking about the Lord. Hallelujah. Talking about the mysteries of God and the hidden things of goodness that God has got for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many believe in Revelation? The Bible said, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Is that right?
Right.
But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. God has made it revelation unto those that are willing to learn, even babes. Is that right? But God has hid heavenly things from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, and made it revelation unto babes, such as are willing to learn. Are you willing to learn tonight? You might be a babe tonight, but are you willing to learn? Hallelujah. You know, God does a lot of new things. One thing we do, we shout, we run, we holler, we have a good time. That's good. That's something good in God. We praise God. That's good. But you know, God is not interested in us running and hollering. God's not interested in us shouting. But the Bible said that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. God wants us to grow. Hallelujah. Grow up in the knowledge and the mercies of Jesus Christ. Is that right? God's got something for us. The only way that we can do that, the Bible said that we are to be easy to teach. Is that right? I should be easy to teach. You should be easy to teach. God wants you to be easy to teach because he's got something for you. But the only way that we can do it is to be easy to teach. Now you can have a whole house full of people and they can be looking straight at you. Where the Bible said, look on us, that's the first thing. But that still doesn't mean that they are receiving what you've got to say. Is that right?
Right.
It still isn't any proof that they're growing into what you understand. Though they might look at you, though they might hear you, but the Bible said to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. Listen to more earnest. Get down, write down, as the Bible teaches. Write down with God and in the Spirit and get the things of God and get acquainted with God. Coming up that road today, back down that little motor coach, setting off to one side, closed away from everybody. I was talking to Jesus and I was getting some good things from God. And God was talking to me. I was having a good time, Brother Mitch. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was coming down. I could feel the presence of God. I could feel God doing something today. I could feel God stirring my soul. Hallelujah. As the anointing of the Lord come down, I could feel the yoke being broken. I could feel the bondage being taken away. I could feel my spirit moving up into a heavenly place with God. I could tell something was going on. You ever got close with God to where you could feel something turning over in your soul? Ever got right in the presence of God until you could feel that stirring from the Holy Ghost way down deep inside, like deep waters rolling? You ever got away with God? Hallelujah. Got a real experience with God? Oh, I'll tell you tonight, it's something to be able to get along with God. Oh, Paul got along with God and God told him things that was strange to his hearing. I had a missionary. He come to our church the other night. We done a little preaching. People began to tell about Jesus. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I've been preaching for 40 years or more. But I've heard things tonight I've never heard in my life, he said. Things I've never heard. For over 40 years, he said, I preach the gospel. He's traveled to England, traveled across the nation. But he said, I've heard things tonight I never heard before. That means God has got something new for us. And God is trying to do something for us. He heard something new. Something new. Is that right? He got stirred up. We've got something new tonight. Something brand new that's burning in our heart. Though we speak to you, though we preach to you, yet our hearts burn within us that we might tell you the mysteries and the revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. But around the world, wherever you go, you might find one. You might find two. You might find three. Not out of a church, but out of the whole city that might understand revelation or might be going on with God or might be able to receive something from God. Is that right?
Amen.
The Bible says that the things of God knoweth no man. Is that right? But it knows the Spirit of God. The things of God don't know no man. But it knows the Spirit of God. The things that belong to God, it doesn't know your spirit. You might be intelligent. You might be smart. You might be wealthy. You might think you look good. Amen. You might be small. You might be fat. You might be what the world calls handsome. You might not look too good. But God's thing doesn't know your spirit. God has no respect to person. The movie star out in Hollywood, God doesn't care anything about them. That's right. God's no respect to person. Hallelujah! God's no respected person. God's looking for somebody tonight that's connected with the main line. God's looking for somebody tonight that's filled with the Spirit. Somebody that God can walk in. The Bible said you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. And God shall walk in you. And God shall talk in you. For you're God's temple.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is that right? God's looking for somebody he can talk to tonight. Not too long ago, preaching out in West Hollywood. Out there at West Hollywood preaching. I was preaching there and the children were singing there for the full gospel businessmen. I remember preaching at a church there in West Hollywood. I saw how the woman and the man looked like the world. The woman was all painted up. I gave an altar call in downtown Los Angeles. And the altars filled up. And the people had pancake makeup. Had all kind of stuff smeared across them. Like a bunch of wild Indians. Amen. I don't believe Indians ever painted up that bad. I got the Spirit of God start moving. I got to looking. And I saw the tears streaming down some of them's cheeks. Cutting down through the pancake makeup. Like water coming over the mountain. Down through the valley. Hallelujah. Praise God. But what happened when the Spirit of God got to move and they forgot about how they looked? They forgot about who they were and forgot about the world. Amen. They changed their mind. Amen. Begin to come down to where God was and begin to come down and get a hold of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God's looking for somebody tonight. Praise be unto God. Amen. You preach against pancake makeup and you lose a member. You preach against smoking and you lose a member. You preach against pouting and you lose a member. You preach against watching the dirty things on television and you lose a member. You preach against talking about the preacher and you lose a member. And you preach against something else, you lose a member. And after a while, the scriptures are fulfilled. Where it says, few there be that find it.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. When you preach the truth, Brother Ernie, sometimes it bothers people. Hey, ain't bothering Brother Ernie. I can tell he ain't bothering him a bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to go to heaven? Oh, my. Today, as the Spirit of God came mightily upon me, and the tears came down my cheeks, I thought, Lord, how wonderful. Oh, God, how I want to be part of heaven. How I want to enjoy the glories of God. And I raised up and I looked out the window. And there I saw the beautiful mountains of West Virginia. And saw the beautiful valleys. I thought, my God, how beautiful. But God, think about heaven. Think about when sin's going to be eradicated. Think about the days when you can walk across the territory of West Virginia and there won't be any debauchery, won't be any theft, and there won't be any murder. Won't be any fornication or adulteries. Won't be some woman stealing another man's wife, some man stealing another, or vice versa, husband, and stealing another man's wife. Is that right? Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Pike, you like to jump the track there. Well, I tell you what. Living in the sodomite age, I wasn't off track. Amen. I noticed the other day, I think in Denver, Colorado, we preached out in Denver, been a long time, but I believe it's in Denver, Colorado, they gave their first license for two women, I believe it was, to marry each other. You know, they license men to marry each other now, women to marry each other. I was over in Michigan, I don't remember just how long ago, I believe it was Detroit, there a woman come up to me and said, I got a problem. I was just fixing going to church, just outside the church. I said, what is it? And she began to try to tell me. And I tell you what, I didn't know I was so ignorant. I didn't know I was so ignorant. And she began to tell me how she was, you know, the wife of that woman that lived over here. And I said, you know, when you preach a lot, you kind of feel like maybe you got confused. I said, the wife to this woman over here, you know. Amen. I said, the wife to this woman over here. She said, well, she said, I'm the husband. I thought, well, how can that be? I just don't get that. I don't understand that. It's bad enough, you know, try to be a wife to a wife, but to try to be a husband when you're a woman, I just couldn't figure the thing out. The whole thing sounded confusing to me. Amen. That's the way the world is today. It's a messed up, fixed up affair, and God's trying to call you out of it. That's why I said, come out of her, my people. Be a separated people. Hallelujah. Is that right? You love the Lord. You love the Lord. Won't you stand with me? Hallelujah. God's trying to lead us out, folks. He's trying to help us. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. I'm not going to hold you long tonight. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus. We sing it down home a lot of times. Called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing with me? Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it again. Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. I sing it like this. Oh, let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief while kneeling there in the contrition. Oh, help my unbelief. Sing it with me now. Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling? Oh, do not pass me by. You love love Him tonight? You love Him tonight? I want to sing another little chorus. And while we're singing tonight, if you've never got acquainted with Jesus, I want you to come down here, will you? If you've never got acquainted with Jesus, you missed the best fellowship and the best friend and the best time that one could ever have. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you talk about that like it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. I'll tell you what, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory, and if there's anything else that could be greater than that, that's what it is too. That's what it is too. And I'm not kidding you about it. I've never done anything I love like living the Christian life. I've never seen anything. I've never found anything. Loving Jesus is the greatest, sweetest, most adventurous, most exciting thing I ever done in my life. I don't see how people stay out yonder with the world and do the thing of the world and stay out there in that, you know, whatever you want to call it. That's right. When things are so excited, so exciting, when you get a hold of grace and when you get a hold of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus like this. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me. Though many have come, there is still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. I want everybody that will to step out tonight and come up here and stand around the altar as we sing this again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Come on, folks. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can we sing it one more time? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Jesus? I feel a sweet spirit. Brother Mitch, I feel a mellow, sweet, rich, wonderful, deep, flowing stream of heaven tonight. You feel it? Let's lift our hands up and sing it again. Can we sing it again together? Now let's just love the Lord and sing it again together. Hallelujah! I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. If there's anything the church needs, it's a moving of the Holy Ghost. It's an infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Let the Holy Ghost have His way in your heart tonight. The world needs the touch of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Let's sing it again, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. I'd like for my wife to come up and stand with us too. Lift them hands up tonight, will you? Come on, folks, lift them hands up, will you? Hallelujah. That's right, all over the building. Just lift your hands up. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus. I feel the love of God here tonight, Brother Toby. I feel God here. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. I love Him tonight. Come on up here, Sister Betty. I love Him tonight, don't you? I love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good tonight. Let's just lift them hands up. Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus tonight. Can we? Can we? Just lift your hands up tonight. Let's love Him. Sing it one more time with me, will you? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many friends have come, oh, there's still room for one. Hallelujah. There's room at the cross. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel Him. Hallelujah. I feel Him. He's here tonight. Let Him have His way. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you feel like saying hallelujah, Brother Ernie, don't mind. I don't mind. Jesus don't mind. You can say hallelujah. 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 Let the saints of God praise God. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for, is to make love to Jesus. The Bible said, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, His gates with praise. Come on in. God is the Spirit, and inhabits the praise of His people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Let's hear you say hallelujah. Can you say praise God? Let's hear you say praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Say it again, will you? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 After listening to Brother Taylor, all these nights I know you know how to say hallelujah. 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 Love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it again. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him tonight? Would you like for God to do something for you tonight, folks? In the few nights of the meeting that we're going to have a chance to be with you, would you like for Jesus to do something for you? Would you? Hallelujah. Would you? Would you like for God to touch you? God's looking for somebody. God's looking for a man. God's looking for a woman. Amen. God's looking for somebody tonight. This is the greatest time in the history of the world. This is a time when God's using men and women. This is a time when God needs a man and God needs a woman to do the job. And you can do it. Is that right? All you got to do is just let Him. Turn that just a little bit there, Brother Taylor. Can you do it? Let's sing it one more time. Can you? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. We'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to stand there for just a few minutes. I want you to meditate for just a few minutes. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. I want you to examine yourselves tonight. You know, a lot of times you can examine yourselves and find out your afflictions and you don't have to go to the physician. That's right, might find a remedy. When you go to the physician, it costs a price, doesn't it? And the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. And let me tell you tonight, faith isn't just believing and going to church. The faith of God isn't just believing and giving offerings. The faith of God isn't just believing and congregating or being religious or having a title as a Christian. That's not the faith of God. The faith of God isn't just believing and belonging to a church. But the faith of God is when you believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
In the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Is that right? What kind of faith is that? The faith of the Word. Some shall depart from the faith of the Word. Is that right? From the faith of the Word, some shall depart from the faith of the Word, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Is that right? Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God has made to be received with thanksgiving of them that know and believe the truth. Is that right? Hallelujah. God's doing something. God's doing something. What you need to do is get your eyes on God. Get your mind on God. Get your heart on God. God's doing something like He's never done in the history of the world. But I'll tell you something tonight. God is going to shell out. God is going to sift out. God's going to take away on this move. Amen. Back in the days gone by, God has added, but God's going to sift out on this move. You know why? Because what God gets this time is going to be those that He takes on into the glory world. Amen. It ain't going to be the world. It ain't going to be like it was. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Where do you get that kind of preaching? Because God said to Peter, so just throw your net out there. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Gave a parable. Said, just throw the net on out there and said, let it get filled up with everything. Is that right? Let the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostals, the backsliders, the hypocrites, the liars, the cheat, the murderers, the harlots, the drunkards. Is that right? Just throw your net out there and haul in everything you catch. That's what the revival's been. Is that right? Amen. I said, well, what are you talking about, Lord? He said, when you get that net over to the shore. Is that right? He said, then just sit down and throw away all the bad.
Yeah.
Amen. Every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. Is that right? God's getting into a throw it away time now. He's been throwing out the nets and He's been gathering a whole bunch of folks. Is that right? But He's throwing them out now. He's throwing them back now. He's getting rid of them now. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen. He's beginning to get rid of them now. God holding everything, but He's beginning to get rid of everything now. Is that right? Throwing them away. Amen. That's right. Why? Because He's getting us ready for something. Getting us ready for something. And the world can't go along with it. There's no way they can go along with it. Amen. We might try to recruit them and get them in, but God's going to throw them back out. That's right. You can try to recruit them and get them in, but God's going to throw them back out fast to get them in. Because few there be that find it. Just going to be a very few that find it. Just a very few, that's all. Hallelujah. Just a very few. This move of God is going to be the greatest move that God has ever made. Is that right? The Lord is beginning to bless. God's beginning to bless. I want you to lift your hands up. Amen. And we come here to visit with you, to preach to you, to teach, to pray for the sick, and to do what we can. Pray for the sick, not to put on a show, not to make believe. Amen. When I pray for you, I'm going to really pray that God will heal you. So many evangelists now, they run you through a line like a herd of hogs and cattle. Shove you down and push you around and do everything else. Make believe that they know something in your heart and they don't know nothing. Amen, it's right. The Bible said Israel's prophets were like the wind and like the foxes. Is that right? They haven't heard anything. They've not heard from God, but I've heard from heaven. I've heard from heaven. I've heard from heaven. God has got some people that's heard from heaven. And I've heard from heaven. I come here to try to tell you what I understand. It depends on how much you want to understand, how much you hunger and thirst after. Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. I come here to try to tell you whatever I can. If God shows me something about you, I'll tell you honestly and sincerely. If I pray for you, I'll pray for you honestly and sincerely. And I believe honestly and sincerely God will heal you. I believe that. I want you to lift your hands up one more time tonight now. I'm just going to pray all together for you tonight. I know you're tired. I know it's late. Some's already left us, but I still didn't feel to stop. I don't feel to stop just because somebody leaves. Amen. If a preacher done that, he'd be stopping all the time. Everywhere I go, I have people to leave, and maybe 15 or 20 will come in after they leave a lot of times. So that part don't bother me. I'd rather they wouldn't, but maybe they've got appointments, engagements. Maybe they had to go. See, there's reasons. But nevertheless, let's just lift our hands up now. And I just for a few minutes, I want to pray for you in a massive prayer tonight. And I want to ask God to do something for you. And if you can, I want you to try to come be with us in the meetings. And I believe that God will do something for you. We'll try to get loose early, preach to you a little while, and let you go home. But I want you to just lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight. Now I want you to listen at me, folks. I want you to listen sincerely. If I pray for you tonight, I'm praying earnestly, and I'm praying sincerely. The Bible tells us that Elias, speaking of Elijah, was a man of like passion, the same as you are. Had the same problems, the same thoughts, the same desires. Like passion, the same as you. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and God kept back the rain. He went and prayed again, and God sent the rain. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The first thing you got to be is a righteous man, folks. You got to be righteous. Ladies, you got to be righteous. If you want your prayer to get through to heaven, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in the sight of God. We know that God heareth not sinners, the Bible said. But if you be a servant of God, the Bible said God will hear you. So I'm going to pray tonight because I'm a servant of God. I'm going to pray for you. If you're sick in your body, I don't care what's wrong with you. If you're sick in your body, if you'll believe tonight, God will heal you tonight. God will do something for you tonight. I'm not going to lay hands on you individually. I'm just going to pray for you tonight. We will, before the meeting's over, lay hands on some of you. But I'm going to pray tonight. And I promise you, if you'll believe tonight, that you'll come back to the meeting and tell me or somebody that God done something for you. That God done something for you. We got a good report. I just come to my mind. As a matter of fact, this report, Brother Ernie, came from the very same tent, the same spot that you was at when you give out the prophecy. There was a woman and a man come there to be critical under the tent that night. And I didn't even know anything about it till later. But I felt like I ought to pray for the woman. I prayed for her, and she had cancer of the breast. And I found out later, I believe it was either the next morning or the next day, that she was running through the aisle screaming and hollering and praising God, and her husband thought she'd lost her mind. And he asked her, said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "God has healed me. God has moved the cancer, and God has made me whole." She came there, as the song said, to fight, but oh my, that night, God certainly got a hold of her. Amen. And now she's singing the victory of God because God healed her. And folks, tonight, God will heal you. If you believe tonight, God will heal you. In the same meeting that Brother Ernie came to, there under the tent, God healed right there. Now I want you to believe tonight as I pray for you. Believe tonight. You'd be surprised how easy it is to have faith. Just teach folks faith a little bit. You'd be surprised at how easy it is to believe. Will you lift your hands up now and believe with me? I'm going to pray with you. And then I'm going to turn those service back here to our dear brother. And we're going to let you go. I lift your hands up now. And I want you to believe. Remember this as I pray. Jesus said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, I've asked and he didn't do it." No, my friend, you asked, he did do it, but you just didn't use any faith to receive what he had done. For by his stripes you were healed. Whatever you ask, he said, "I will do it." Is that right? I will do it. Decree a thing in your heart and it shall come to pass. Cast not away thy faith, Paul said, that hath great recompense and reward. And when you pray, believe that you receive it, and ye shall have it. For whatever you say, if you believe in your heart and doubt not, you can have whatever you say. Is that right? So tonight, one thing you must do, you must believe when you pray. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. No need to pray if you're not going to believe. I want you to believe tonight. I'm going to pray for you. Whatever you desire, you can have it tonight. You say, where do you find that in the Bible? How do I know I can have it? Because he said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. God said that. He don't alter his word. He don't change it without respect to person. You say, but it's not for me, Brother Pike. But Jesus said it was. Without respect to person. Is that right? I want you to believe now as we pray. Let's pray together now. Just lift your hands up, close your eyes, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I count it a great privilege tonight, Father, to be here in Brother Ernie's church. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for taking care of me on the road and giving me the opportunity to speak to these wonderful people. And oh God, tonight, as I stand here asking you, I want you to hear my prayer. And I know you hear me, Father, as Jesus said you hear me always. I want you to heal tonight, Jesus. I want you to break the yoke tonight, Jesus. I want you to take away the diseases tonight. I want you to give me a testimony in this meeting, God, that will live in West Virginia. I want you to heal these people and break the yokes off and take away every evil tonight. I want you to heal these sick bodies. I want you to break the yoke tonight and take away the binding yokes tonight from all of these people. Take the evil spirits away tonight and give them liberty. For where thy spirit is, God, bears liberty. Heal tonight. Save tonight if there'll be a lost one here tonight. I want you to save them, Jesus, tonight. I want you to do it in Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.